This is the lecture for March 1995. It is titled, Does God Have Feelings? The best place to start this lecture is Genesis chapter 1. The reason why this is the best is because it is in that chapter that God explains who we humans are. We are made according to the Word of God in the very image and likeness of God. We are in His image, we are in His likeness. We resemble God, or shall we say, God resembles us, or we resemble Him. Let us read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, so that we can set the theme of this whole matter of, does God have feelings? Here we read in Genesis chapter 1, written by Moses, under the inspiration of God, verse 26, chapter 1. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice that. God said, male and female. Both are created in the image of God. God is both male and female. Now, he is not a hermaphrodite. He is a male. But there are the female part of the God family. We look on earth today and we see one half male and one half female. We are all in the image of God. Now, that is what we are told in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. All of us happen to be in the image and the likeness of God. Now, all of the emotions that you have, all of the feelings that you have, all of the feelings and emotions that I have, that any of us have, must be something that God Himself has, because He created all of us in His image, in His likeness. We have the same type of faculties and facilities and the same type of emotions as God the Father does Himself and as Jesus Christ has Himself. We need to realize that. He is very much like humans, or better yet, we are very much like He is. That is the important thing for us to understand. Do you realize that all of us happen to be here for a purpose? The purpose that we're here for is to become just exactly like God the Father and Christ Jesus. That is why He created us in His image to begin with. Granted, we are flesh. We are not spiritual yet. We are not made up of spiritual substance. We have flesh and we have blood. But we are very much like God the Father. In all faculties, in almost every way that you can think, we are like He is, and He is like we are. We are, according to the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, in the very image and the likeness of God the Father. And that includes male, and that includes female at the same time. For God to create men and women as He is, with all of our emotions, means that He understands clearly those human emotions that we have simply because it is He who created them. You did not create your human emotions. God created them. You did not create your feelings that you have, no matter what they might be. God created them. And you know why you are having those emotions and feelings that you have? It's simply because God has the same feelings and the same emotions as you have. Because we are all, male or female, in this image and likeness of the Almighty God. That is why He wants us to understand His feelings that He has in regard to us. Because He created in us certain emotions, certain feelings. And those feelings and emotions are nothing more than a reflection of God Himself that He has put into us because each one of us happens to be one of His children. You are very important in this universe. I'll tell you why you are important. Because you happen to be a son or a daughter of the living God. He created you for a purpose. He created you to be in His image, in His likeness. He created you to have emotions and feelings like He has. You are very special. I mean you, listening to this. in God's eyes, because He happens to love you. He created you for a purpose. He created Christ Jesus for a purpose. He created all of us for a purpose. We are members of His divine family, whether we realize it or not. And you know, that is exactly what the Bible says, both Old and New Testaments. We humans are nothing more than a reflection of God Himself. That's what we are. And I ask anyone to just read the first chapter of Genesis. Does it not say in the clearest of language? Did Moses mince words, or did he mumble the words in some ways so that you don't understand? Why, he made it as clear as you can possibly make it. In the very first chapter of Genesis, he says that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. Male and female, we are in His image, in the image of God, the family of God. And it's made up of male and female, just like we find here on this earth. We humans are nothing more than a reflection of God Himself. He is really in us, creating Himself all over again. And you know, the emotions that you have, the feelings that you have, and all of that happens to be nothing more than the very same feelings and emotions that God the Father has and that Christ Jesus has. We are in the image and the likeness of God. We should never forget that. It's most important that we understand that factor. Indeed, Christ Jesus Himself, when He came to this earth, He came into the earth as the Son of God. And we're told by the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews that when Jesus Christ entered this world and grew up to be an adult, He came in the express image of God the Father Himself. You could not tell the difference between the two. Now, one was the Father and one was the Son. But Jesus Christ was in the express image, in the express type of condition, though He was in the flesh at the time, as God the Father Himself. If you wanted to know how God the Father would react to any given circumstance, just look at Jesus Christ and see how He would react to any given circumstance. And you would find that God the Father and Christ Jesus respond in exactly the same fashion. And in most cases, when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, when He was here on this earth, He responded to the environment around Him, to the circumstances that affected Him, to the civilization that He found in His midst, and all of that. In most ways, like you and I would also experience those things. And in fact, why should I say in most circumstances? I would say in every circumstance. Because you see, Jesus Christ was the Son of the Father. But He came into this world as a human being, like you and like I am. And He came into this world with emotions. He came into this world with feelings. He came into this world like you and I are. But with one exception, He was the express image of the Father Himself. So if you want to know about the emotions you might have or the feelings you might have, well, all you have to do is to identify yourself with Jesus Christ, who as a human being and at the same time as the Son of the living God, who was in the express image of God the Father, He came to show you and me the very feelings and emotions that God the Father Himself expresses to all that He has created in the universe, and particularly to you and me, who happen to be in His very image and His very likeness. Let us read that Hebrews chapter 1. It's most important. Verse 1, starting here, this is what the Apostle Paul said. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by a Son, His Son. That Son is Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, that means the entirety of this universe, by whom also He made the worlds, that means the cosmos, the ages of the past, everything dealing with the various ages that we see the world going through at the present time, have been created by and through Jesus Christ, by the express permission, in fact, I should say, by the authority of God the Father, who controls the entirety of this universe. Now look at verse 3. Who? This is speaking about the Son. This is speaking about no ordinary person. This is speaking about the Son of the living God. And by the way, that Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, is no more than a representation of you, a representation of me. Male or female, it makes no difference. He was in the express image when he came to this earth and grew into an adulthood and died on the tree of crucifixion there in Jerusalem upon the Mount of Olives. When he came in the flesh, it doesn't make any difference whether he was in the flesh and with blood, which he had at the time. He was a representative of us. He was just exactly like we are. And look at this. Here's what Paul said, verse 3. Who? Christ, being the brightness of his glory, that is the very brightness of the Father himself. And look at this, verse 3. And the express image of his person. Now that is most important for us to understand. Because if Jesus Christ came into this world and he represented the express image of God the Father himself, do you know, if you'll read the rest of the New Testament, if you will read what the Apostle Paul said in Romans, in Galatians, in Corinthians, particularly in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, those mature epistles that he wrote, do you realize that we are also in Christ? That we are in the same body that he's in? That God the Father looks upon you and me in the exact way that he did his own Son? And you know, his own Son was in the express image of the Father in every factor that you can think about. That is what Paul is trying to say here. Who, being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, and the express image. It's just like carving a statue, shall we say, though a statue made of stone is stone. But here, this man, Jesus Christ, wasn't made of stone. He was a human being, like you and I are. But still, he was in the exact express image. I want you to notice that adjective that precedes image. It just wasn't simply an image of God. It was the express image of God. Down to the smallest detail, Jesus Christ was exactly like God the Father. Now, all you have to do, and I, if we want to know how God expresses his emotions, his feelings, is to look at the life of Jesus Christ. And you know, that life of Jesus Christ is nothing more than a reflection of our own lives. Because he was a human being just like you and I are. He had all of the problems that you and I have. He had all the difficulties that you and I have. He had all of the ups and downs of life that you and I have. He had all of the, shall we say, the negative as well as the positive aspects of life. At times he was happy and joyful at a wedding feast, and my goodness, having good wine and everything like that to go with the feast and enjoying himself. At other times he was sad. You know, the shortest verse in the entire Bible, I'm going to give it to you in a few moments. The shortest verse in the King James Version that we have here in the entire Bible expresses something of Jesus Christ that most people ought to know a little bit about. He was not only a happy person, of course he was. He was not only a person with complete and utter optimism, of course he was. He was not only a person, however, that had everything going for him because he knew that he was fulfilling a job for God the Father. That's right. But you know the shortest verse in the Bible? I'll tell you. It says, Jesus wept. That's it. He also had an emotion. He had feelings, like you have. How many times have you wept? Why, we men, we're not supposed to do that, but Jesus Christ did. And I'll tell you, a few times I've had to in my life. I don't know about you now, but you know something? Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11, verse 35. That expresses a feeling. It's an emotion. It is something that he was trying to show, not only to the Father, but to all of us. Because you see, if Jesus wept, we have the right to weep ourselves. That's right. Because nothing is absolutely perfect on this earth with one exception. God is in charge. I tell you, he is the one who's going to bring it to pass that all of us are going to rejoice in happiness without the slightest weeping in the future. But at the present time, Jesus wept, and so do you. We have learning lessons that God wants us to have at this present time. He wants us, as His own children, to express the same type of emotions, the same type of feelings that He Himself has. You know, it was marvelous to be able to think, here is the Father sitting on His throne with all the glory and the majesty that you can possibly imagine Him having, and yet at the same time telling you and me, as His children, as His son or as His daughter, come up to me, put your arms around me. I understand you. I love you. I know the problems you've gone through. I have gone through them myself. I understand them completely. And you know something, son and daughter? I am teaching you something. Teaching you how to act like I do. I control this universe. And I am happy and joyfully doing it, basically. But I also know that there are feelings involved. There are deep feelings and emotions. And all of you have had to go through some of these things because I want to tell you why, he says. Because I've had to myself. You see, we are his children. He is teaching us things. Now, everything is going to work out for good in the end. Oh, I tell you, the Bible is the most wonderful book that God could ever give to mankind. It tells you the greatest optimism that you could possibly have. It gives you faith. It gives you hope. It gives you comfort. It gives you not only all those things, but there is the resurrection from the dead of all of the loved ones you've ever had in the past. And by the way, all of the sins and problems you have committed, and you have done plenty of them, and I have too, but you know something? They're all going to be wiped out. Because these emotions that we have, these feelings that we have, God has a way of letting us know that He is going to take care of them through Himself, through Christ Jesus, and by Him showing He loves us with all His heart. Believe me, He cares for you. He cares for me. He wants us to have these emotional type of feelings in this 70, 80, 90, or 100 years that we have here on this earth. And you know, He doesn't subject us to these things inordinately. You know, He only gives us a short time here, but He gives us happy times. He gives us joyful times. He also allows us to have unhappy times. The emotions and the feelings of God are very important because, you see, you and I are experiencing the very things that God the Father Himself goes through, the very things that His own Son goes through. Jesus Christ, when He came into this world in flesh and blood like you and I are, and He was in the express image of the Father. So, if you want to know how Jesus Christ reacts to human emotions or feelings, well, then all you have to do is to read the Gospels, and you're going to be able to find out how He reacts. You know, on occasion, Jesus wept. That's right. On other occasions, He was joyful. On other occasions, it was intermediate, you know, either yea or nay, or so forth. Jesus went through all of the experiences of human life. And it says in the book of Hebrews that He learned by the things that He suffered more than the things that He rejoiced in. Now, we all need to rejoice. And I'll tell you, the final outcome is going to be rejoicing in the highest level. You cannot imagine the glorious and wonderful and majestic things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But the only way that you and I are going to understand and to appreciate the good things that God wants us to have is to, in a sense, dabble, shall I say, in this type of a world in which we find emotions that we don't like. Unhappiness, difficulties, depressions, evil around us, and so forth. And you know, God, He allows these things to exist so that our emotions can be in tune with His. So that our feelings can be in tune with His. So that we can be like He is. So that we can understand what it's like to be a member of the family of God that rules this universe. That he rules it all. He created it all. He rules it all. He wants us to be happy in it. Some time ago, one man asked me, "Ernest, if you could just have your greatest wish, what is the greatest wish that you could express?" And I said, "Well, that's quite a question right there. And I better not, I don't want to say something inadvertently here that would get me into trouble, but I'll tell you, I think I know what I want out of life." And the man said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "You know, the thing I want is to enjoy this universe for the rest of eternity." And the man looked at me and he said, "You know, that's not a bad answer." That's right. But to enjoy something means you have to be in conformity to the rules and regulations of that universe. That's why God has given us the Bible. That's why God motivates primarily his principles upon the dictums of love and peace and concern for the other guy and for yourself. That's why love and all of those things are important. But you know something? Love cannot be expressed properly unless you have the rules and regulations of the Father who created these things. You see, God the Father is just that. He is a parent. Now, that is what I want you to get a knowledge of in this lecture. God is a parent. Now, he is a father. He had a son named Jesus Christ in his express image. But the first thing you've got to realize is God is a parent. And you know, he is your parent. He is my parent. He is the Father. He is like a father that you have here on earth, and a good father in this case. You know, not all fathers on earth are good, but God the Father is good. God the Father loves us. He loves us as a parent. Now, I want to tell you something. All of us who are adults, and here I am 62 years of age, and let me tell you, I've had three children. My wife has had three children. We have children. Now, we have grandchildren, too. But you know something? The very fact that we have children allows us to think like God does, because he has children, too. And you know who happens to be his children? You and I are. We're his children. Now, what he wants us to experience are the very things that he goes through, his feelings, his emotions, his ways of looking at things. As a parent. Now, he allows us to be parents. And sometimes we say, "Oh my goodness, I'm not sure I want to be a parent with all that responsibility that comes along." I agree with you 1,000%, you know, and all that. But I tell you, in the end, we look at those children and we cannot help but rejoice in them. At the end, and the way it's going to work out at the very end, we know that God is going to cause all of our children to be rescued, and including ourselves. And we are all going to be one happy family in the future. Now, we all have to go through various things. But you know, one of the greatest experiences of life is to be a parent. Because, you know, you have children. And, you know, God has children. So he says to us, "I'm going to let these children of mine have children of their own so that they can understand how I have to deal with all of you." Now, that's the way he looks at it. You're my children. All right, now I'm going to give you children. And I'll tell you, you're going to have to deal with them like I deal with you. Now, that's what he says. And it's a wonderful thing when you think about it. But, oh, the responsibility that goes with that. I tell you, sometimes, you know, when we think of our children and the things that we want them to do, we tell them, "It would please us very much if you could do it this way." And, you know, many times they will turn right around and do just exactly the opposite of what you want them to do. And they still say that they love you, but no, they're going to go their way. That's the way many children are. Now, there are other children that are more obedient. That's quite true, and we're thankful for that. And that's the way some of us are as relationship to God. Some of us are more obedient than others, aren't we? That's quite true. Now, don't ask Ernest Martin if he's been obedient all the time to God the Father, because I'll tell you something, I'm just going to have to admit I haven't been. Now, I'm not pleased with everything that I've ever done, But I happen to know my Heavenly Father loves me, and he's going to bring me through. And I think he kind of likes me a little bit, you know, but he likes you too. Not only does he like you, he loves you with all his heart. That's the point that we need to understand. Now, I have not always been perfect in trying to please my Heavenly Father or my own father and mother that I've had here on earth. I love my father and my mother that were here, but I not always obeyed everything they did. Sometimes they said to me, why does that Ernie do that? You know, or why does he do this? But you know, most of the time I was obedient. At least they knew that I respected them. And I did. Until the day they died, I think both of them understood that their son respected them. But you know, not all sons do that. Now, I'm not priding myself, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to say that we have the experience of having children to teach them so that we can become like God the Father, who also has children. And his children happen to be you and me, all of us. He wants us to be able to experience dealing with children like he has to deal with children. And you know, the best thing in the world is for an obedient child is to do as the father and the mother want them to. Would that be nice and wonderful? Well, it seems to me like that's a social obligation. Not only that, it's something that is wonderful and beautiful. If we can find that children obey the teachings of their father and their mother, especially if the father and mother love them with all their hearts. Now, the father and mother say, don't put your hand in the cookie jar. Now, you want the cookies. Oh, my goodness, how I wanted the cookies when I was a youngster. And I would use every stratagem I could think to get in that cookie jar. Until finally my mother would spank my hand and tell me, Ernest, I told you you can have a cookie, but you don't have five of them. They're not good for you. And, you know, I just knew my mother was telling the truth. I just knew it, but I still wanted to be naughty anyway. And so what did I do? I'd still try to sneak in there and do it. Now, I'm not sure my mother was pleased with me or my father when I would do things like that. But getting in the cookie jar is an innocent kind of thing to doing some of the things that our children do these days. Isn't that a fact? Or that you have done, or that I have done. Getting in a cookie jar is an innocent thing. But there are lots of other things that children do that their parents have told them not to do, and they go right ahead and do it anyway. And you know, you're not pleased with them, are you? No. And what do you want to do? If they're adults, you can't take them over your lap anymore and spank them. I mean, what can you do there? You know, the point is, God deals with us as adult children, not as young children. You can handle young children, but it's difficult to handle adult children, isn't it? Some of you who are grandparents, you know, for your own children, you say, why don't they do it this way? And why don't these grandkids do it this way? And you know, you're probably right. The thing is, they are not doing it correctly. But you can't take them any longer over your lap and spank them, can you? No, well, you can. But does it do any good? That's the point. Well, yes, it does sometimes. Now, God the Father is in charge of all of us. And we are adult children. And what we have to realize is that he has feelings like we have feelings. He has emotions like we have emotions. And to make a long story short, it comes down to this. An obedient child, which I think you would want to be, and I want to be in the eyes of the Father, is to do the things that he says to do. If he says, do not the things of the heathen that cut down a tree and put it up, you know, in a Christmas thing, something like that, and you say, well, I don't see any harm in that. That's right. You don't see any harm in it. I don't see any harm in it either. God says, though, do not do the way of the heathen. Now, do you want to please your parent, or do you not? You see the point? Sometimes we think these things are innocent, that like the cookie jar deal. They're not innocent when you get down to it, because God, believe it or not, he has feelings. He actually has feelings. He has emotions relative to you. He actually wants you to do what he says, because if you do it the way he says, you're going to be happier, You're going to be in conformity to his teachings, his laws, and his ways, and everyone is going to benefit. Now, you go contrary to them, and you displease him. Well, go ahead and do it if you want to. But I'll tell you something. God is going to be displeased with you, just like you would be displeased with your own children, if they don't do the things that you would want. Now, granted, some of the things that we want may be inordinate at times. I mean, some of us are very, very strict, and maybe too strict. And we shouldn't be that way. Okay, we have teachings that we need to apply ourselves. But on the other hand, most parents, if they are God-fearing parents, if they're going by the biblical revelation, will want their children to be happy and joyful. And when you tell them, don't run out into the street, you're not trying to restrict them from playing and having fun and all of that. What you're trying to do is to keep them from getting killed or maimed or something of that nature. Now, it seems to me like that is a proper approach that parents ought to have. But if a child disobeys the parent and runs into the street, the parent has a right to spank the child to say, now listen here, you shouldn't do that. Why? Not because you have to obey my laws. It's because I don't want you killed. Don't you understand? That's the way God the Father is. He gives us all types of teachings to keep us out of trouble if we will just apply them. But many of us do not want to apply his teachings. We're just like children. We say, oh, well, this doesn't make any difference. We can just go right ahead and do it. This is all right for children, you know, this Halloween business that we have, or this Easter business that we have, this Christmas business that we have, and all that. You know, I agree with you 100%. It just looks perfectly innocent on the surface. And the only trouble is God says, stay away from it. That's what God the Father says. And you know something? We say, oh, well, it doesn't make any difference. I tell you something, you're just like a rebellious child, or I am, who doesn't want to please the parent. Now, there is the key to the whole thing. Do you know just who you are? Do you realize that you are a prince, if you're a man, or a princess, if you are a woman, of the living God of heaven, that you are a part of the very family of God? Why don't you act like a prince and a princess? Why don't you act your part? Why don't you try to please your father in everything that he wants? It seems to me like that is being an obedient child. Now, God the Father will let you just do anything you please as long as you please him. Why, he's not interested in governing your life in a way which is going to constrain you, that you can't do as you jolly well please. He wants you to be able to do everything you want to do within laws and guidelines, which would be helpful and good for not only you, but also for society around you. God wants you to enjoy life. Like I said to the gentleman, he said, what would you want to do, Ernest, for the rest of eternity? I said, well, I just want to enjoy the universe. And, you know, I don't think that is a bad choice. I want to enjoy it. But the only way I can enjoy it is if I am pleasing my Heavenly Father and my elder brother called Jesus Christ. And you know something? They give me all types of leeway. I can do as I jolly well please on anything I want to do as long as I am abiding by the principles that they have given to me as a child, one of their children. They know that Ernest Martin doesn't know all the truth. I mean, my goodness, I couldn't create the universe if I wanted to. I wouldn't even know where to start. But you know something? One of these days I'm going to know. One of these days you're going to know. I don't know all I need to know at the present time, but God the Father does. Now, that is why I trust in him as my Heavenly Father. And you know something? I may be imperfect. He gets mad at me once in a while, and he has a right to get mad at me when I go contrary to his teachings. But I'll tell you something. He knows in my heart that I really want to please him. And you know, when you get a child, I mean your own children I'm talking about. Forget about God the Father right now, just your own children. Whatever those children are, if you know they mean well and want to please you, you know, even their foibles and their things they do wrong and all of that, isn't it interesting how you just show a love to them and say, oh my goodness, well, you just love them. and you forgive them and everything like that, if you know their attitude is such that they want really to do right. They don't want to do wrong. They want to do right. Well, now that's how I feel. That's how most of you feel. And that's the way that God looks upon us. We are His children. Now listen, does God have feelings? The answer is absolutely. Remember that Jesus Christ was the express image of the Father in every way. And the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. That means God the Father also weeps on occasion. Now, wait a minute. He also is a happy person. He's very happy. He's very joyful. He has feasts. He has a wonderful time. But there's also a time for weeping. There's also a time for reflection. There's also a time when human and godlike emotions and feelings are made manifest. And we need to know what they are, because you see, we are like God in so many ways. Now, if you look at this matter about Jesus weeping, He wept for a person, for a purpose. He looked over Jerusalem and He said, if they could only just understand the basic truths of the teaching of Moses or the teaching of the Bible, they would relieve themselves of tremendous problems and difficulties that are now afflicting them. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, and He had a right to weep over them. Now, interestingly, do you realize that even to this very day that God is weeping like Christ did over things that you and I and the world happen to be doing? That's right. Because many of us are not obedient children. We ought to be, but we're not. And God Himself actually weeps to this very day. It shows He has emotions like we do. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 39 are very important. We're coming to the end of this first section here on this tape. But you know something? You need to read Romans 8, beginning in verse 14. I'm going to start there because it shows the emotions that God the Father has, the feelings that our Heavenly Father possesses, and not only His feelings, but also those of Christ Jesus, His own Son. Now, Christ Jesus experienced human life here on this earth for some 30-odd years. He was able to experience the good. He was able to experience the bad. He was able to experience, like you and I do, the good and the bad. He was able to be an obedient child of God the Father by even going to the tree of crucifixion to be able to fulfill a plan for all of us. And it says in the scripture that He learned by the things that He suffered, not by the things He enjoyed. He learned by the things that He suffered. And you know, most of my learning that I have had in this world, positive things, by the way, which will help me for all eternity in the future, have been the things that I have suffered more than the things that I have enjoyed. However, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather be in enjoying things than I am suffering, you know. But the suffering can help you to appreciate the good. That's how God the Father is. He sometimes puts us through chastisements. And we might even think, my goodness, this is evil coming from God Himself. And that's true. But the point is, He's looking after you as a son and a daughter, whom He happens to care for very much, whom He happens to feel is so important that you, I'm talking about you listening to me, will be and are right now a son and daughter of the living God. And you should look on yourselves. Go and look in the mirror if you want to. You are a son and a daughter of God, just like Christ Jesus was Himself. And He's no more interested in Christ Jesus than He is you. Or better yet, He's no more interested in you than He is Christ Jesus. Because the two of you are interconnected, absolutely linked together. That when God sees you, He sees Christ. And when He sees Christ, He sees you. Now, I mean personally, in an emotional way, in a feeling way that reaches right down to the innermost recesses of His heart. That's how He looks at it. And that's how you got to look at it too. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, to start there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are the sons of God. Now, that also includes daughters. Yes, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of the living God. Now, notice child. That means God is your father. God is your parent. Now, you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be trying to please our parent. That's simply it. If he says, daughter and son, I prefer you do it this way. You know what he expects you to do? He doesn't expect you to argue with him and say, well, now, my reasoning is just opposite of yours. I think I ought to go this way or do this. No, he didn't say that. He said, son and daughter, I want you to go in this direction. And, you know, it seems to me like that an obedient child, male or female, son or daughter, doesn't make any difference, wanting to please the father, would not even argue with him and say, okay, I'll just do it. I'll absolutely just do it. Now, I don't even know why I'm doing it. I don't even know why this is the best way. I may not understand it completely. But you know something? If you say to do it this way, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it your way. Now, that's how God the Father expects us to react to his laws, to his ways of even his suggestions. He would be mighty pleased if you would just do as he says, without argument. And you know who's going to win? Well, it's God the Father going to win. But you're also going to win too, because we're both in conformity to the divine spiritual laws that emanate from God the Father himself. That's why it says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons or the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is an Aramaic term close to the Hebrew. Now, this is coming through the Greek, but it's still the same thing, which means, in effect, to say that Father is like Dad, or Daddy, or Papa. It's a very close, endearing term, which really means something very close. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the B-side of this lecture.